You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
The legend Ken Berthelot will help us lead off hour number three. We'll chat with him about a game he called last night that has some local college implications, Mr. J. Hardgrave. We'll touch on that. Marlon Favorite coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk both LSU at Florida and the Saints and Redskins with him. And then, of course, we will give our picks of the week for some couple of college and NFL games and a little more from Drew Brees and Mark Ingram as he is on the return. First, though, this is Ken's first time. He's never understood this or been around to experience. We do not start off each hour without this on a Friday. I'm sorry, Ken. There it is. Look at him dancing. Woo! He's dancing.
I'm into it.
See? There you go.
Ken, be honest. This is the worst song you've ever heard in your life.
Do I hear Gus singing with him? Hold on. Yeah, he's in there. I hear that voice. It's distinctive.
You know, I never thought about that, Ken.
What's that?
That this is actually you singing in the shower?
Yep. Wow.
I never thought about that.
Well, you know what?
The fact that y'all had audio in the shower is impressive.
There it is. Actual audio in the shower.
And thank God it was only audio.
That's exactly right. We'll talk about this bottom of the hour because, oh, boy. You know, again, I don't even let this bother me. And Ken Berthelot, feel free to join in this conversation because in today's day and age in media, right, you got to fill time. You got to fill all these talk shows. Everyone has banter back and forth. You got to have a hot take. Skip Bayless is the king of hot takes. And what I mean by that is it's a take that's so ridiculous that gets people to react one way or another.
Yes.
And I think it's on purpose. So Jordan the intern just pulls up, I guess, what he said today on his show. He says, quote, it's offensive to Tom Brady to even put him in the same sentence with Drew Brees when it comes to 500 TD passes. Brees has attempted 515 more passes than Tom Brady in his career. So apparently he doesn't feel that they're in the same league.
Now, Skip Bayless is an idiot, and everybody knows that.
Even before we get that,
right?
I want to pass along
what
I think is a great compliment to you in this show. I'm going back to the last time I was on the show, and I was sitting there listening to your interview with Jennifer Hale. And, you know, after that interview, and you enlightened a lot of people that did not know that about her. Then the newspapers come out and do a big expose on her.
Right.
And it all started right here with your show.
I'll
and I think
what.
That's something special. And look, I think enough of it that I came down here live. We're not doing this by telephone.
No, exactly right.
I'm going to be on a Gus show. Well, I'm coming down. Hey, I had to leave at 10:30 this morning, but I got down here.
That's true. You had some meetings. It takes a while to get in here. It's a Friday on Royal Street.
But I wanted to compliment you on that because,
I appreciate that.
You know, a lot of times people go, you're just filling time on a sports show. That's not. That was some really good in-depth stuff with
Jennifer
Hale.
She is really awesome. The fact that it was years ago and you didn't even know. I've tried to get her on a couple more times because she does college football for Fox, NFL games as well, and also Pel's coming up. So we're going to have her on once a week to try to get it. I can't pick a day because now she's doing college games on Thursday or Friday. So she's never really home. It's crazy. She's always traveling and flying.
I just wanted to compliment you on that before we get started because I think that was something really special.
You've been around and you've called a lot of moments, right? College football, high school football, even in the pros as well. I'm trying to get, I guess, Saints fans to understand, because you're starting to see some columns come out today as the weekend's getting and the game's getting near, what we're going to witness on Monday if it happens and when Brees breaks that record. That's a ridiculous record. I mean, that you're seeing, you know, one of those things where we've seen it on TV, right, when someone breaks one of his records. But to actually be there now, I know Saints fans have been there when Hartley kicked us into the Super Bowl and all that. But to see that, and Brees talked about it yesterday, the fact that his kids will be able to experience it, that his family will be able to experience it. It's a big moment, man, Monday.
You know how big it is? You can tell it's big when our New England buddy here, I'm going to say his name after that, okay?
Yeah.
When he makes that kind of comment about it, okay? When they play it down, it's big. It's big, and they're going to try to just take a little bit of the headline off of it, and he can't. Right. It's this is big, and I don't care how many passes he's thrown, I don't care how many more, how many less. Mm-hmm. All that says is maybe he wasn't on a team that could score enough or produce enough offense, right. Or maybe the defense wasn't there, that he had to do that. But the fact that he had to produce that many more passes and did it and is still there and is still playing.
I agree.
Hey, Brady, you can't take that away from him. You can't take it away.
But, Ken, go back to Tom Dempsey. Tom Dempsey was the only thing that New Orleans professional teams had to hang their hat on.
That's right.
The longest field goal ever. This is a lifetime achievement. We have never had a all-time leader in any category in anything until now.
Not in the Saints category. Right. You're right. Absolutely. I remember when Terrence Jones, and you have to forgive me for this, Terrence Jones broke a record in 1987. He broke John Elway's record, and Elway was here because the Broncos were playing the Saints,
right.
And he came to the Dome on Saturday before the Sunday game and stood there on the sideline and stayed there with Terrence all the way to congratulate
wow,
him
that's
when
classic.
Terrence had broken his record. I think it was for, God, I'm going to say career,
It's one of them.
Yeah.
All-purpose
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, forgive me. I got so much on all-purpose. I tell you what, after this game last night, my head's still spinning.
It was that good.
Oh, 1,000 yards of offense, well, 81. I mean, it was crazy.
It was crazy. The graph is listening on the plane, on the tarmac. That's what Todd does. He listens to us as they're taking off. For
I wish Graf would get on the plane.
Well,
that's why it's still on a tarmac. They're going, Graf, get on the plane. Okay,
exactly,
please.
Exactly right. We'll figure out what that Terrence Jones record is, but no, it's crazy.
And he'll know
when you look at it from
that
perspective.
He's better at the records than I am.
But that's to the point. I mean, look, again, I grew up and it was Archie, and you know, then they finally won 8 games, and then they finally won a playoff game. But this is legit. I mean, this is one of the best that will ever play it. I've said it again, being on the sideline for 2 years in 2007-08. You just cannot appreciate the speed of that game and how quickly you have to make the decisions. The yards, the passing, the mobility. We're seeing with Mahomes that's very Favre-like right now. That's fun to watch, Ken. But to me, understanding how you have to win before that snap even happens, before the game even comes, and you know this from covering teams and talking to players and talking about game plans and such, so much prep goes into it, man, that I don't think a lot of people put into it. You don't get to that record and you don't pass the completion record, much less the yardage record, if you don't know where you're going with the football. In the NFL, you don't know where you're going with the football, it's an interception.
That's right. And, you know, you go back to the prep part of it. When I'm teaching leadership classes, Dale Carnegie classes and the like, I will remind people in the class, and it's all business people, not too many athletes will come to a regular class, and I'll remind them that, hey, you're in here. Think about coaching, because we like to call it coaching, and there's not a lot of difference between business coaching and athletics coaching.
Right.
And I'll tell people, think about athletics for a moment. In the typical game week, you're looking at 3 hours, 4 hours of practice, 3-4 hours of film study. So you're looking at maybe 6-7 hours a day, 5 days a week. You're looking at anywhere from 25 to 30 hours of preparation for a 3.5 hour
yeah,
game.
And it's
3.5 hours.
Yeah. You have to make that decision in seconds.
That's right. And then look, and that doesn't count all the hours that go in the off season. And I tell people when we're doing leadership training, you're lucky that you're here getting 3.5 hours of training to go out and play a 40, 50, 60, 70 or 80 hour week, depending on how long you're working. And it makes a big difference. And that's the importance of it. But yeah, so when you look at the amount of time, the amount of prep that goes into that, keep your head focused, stay healthy, do everything right, live it right, the entire thing. This is, as you said, it's huge. It's enormous.
I saw Doug Mouton from Channel 4 put a video of Scott Cody's package of when Drew Brees was on, and, you know, just shows him being introduced in the old media room area. And Brees looks so young, man. And I remember that clear as day, because that was one of the first years that I started covering on a day-to-day beat for WWL and, you know, interviewing the coaches. And it was a bunch of different coaches, and it was Sean Payton, and they hired him. And then there was a couple of quarterbacks. And then, you know, because at the time, which is a little weird, they would have them in, and then they would have them meet with the media afterwards as candidates, which was great. I don't think you even see that now, really, when you look at it. And I just remember when that happened, because that was the number one thing when you think about it, is who's the quarterback? How do you replace Aaron Brooks? Which was nuts, because he was going to be the next big thing. I mean, he came right onto the stage, and he was spectacular.
And how many times have you had a good quarterback where you didn't have the offensive system or the coach to accompany it, and the whole thing fell through? Tommy Bowden, I think, proved that more than anything in the world. He came in and took players from the Buddy era that Buddy had recruited kids who went 4-18 in their freshman sophomore year. And Graf and I talked about this on the film room series.
Yeah.
And they turned that around and went 18-4, add the bowl game, 19-4 the next 2 years. And I firmly believe that if you got a defense that can make some big plays, if you've got a quarterback, a coach that everybody believes in, a quarterback like a Drew Brees, a coach that people believe in, and I think this team believes in Sean Payton, and you have an offensive system, rather, that'll really make it go, you've got a shot at that big ring. You've got a shot at it all almost every year. But you take one of those three elements away on the offensive side of the football, and you're never going
to
get there.
You're
not going to get there.
You have to have the
partnerships,
right partnerships. Belichick and Brady. I mean, it's the right partnerships. Same thing. I mean,
and look, it's true in college, high school, or the pros. It doesn't matter what.
We like to joke, Jay, and say, can you imagine if Saban would have picked Brees? Would have been the same? Does he run the same off? You know, he's more of a defensive guy. I mean, would Brees have been the same in Miami under Saban if he chose him and not Culpepper? You know,
but you're shaking your head. No.
No.
I think no?
I think it's yes, and I'll tell you why. Saban's smart enough to recognize talent and figure out what you've got to put around that talent and what system you got to put there to get it. Plus, Saban would have had him if it would have been Saban's choice. And that's what drove Saban out of pro football back into college football, because he will not, I think, and he said it somewhere down the line, he'll never, would have not taken a pro job when it was available unless he could have been the coach and general manager, and he would have had all decision-making power, because had it been his decision, he would have had Drew Brees. The decision did not come from Saban. The decision came from the brass up at the top, who said, and this is what they said. They said, hey, man, 99% of the people who have the injury that Brees got, that everybody, they don't return. And Saban has his own people look at him, and they said, they're right, 99% don't. We feel Brees is the one guy who can return.
Yeah.
And Saban said,
it's really incredible when you think of him coming back from that injury and becoming a Hall of Famer. Not playing, not doing well. He became a Hall of Famer.
And look, I'm going to credit Saban because he realized that. He said, this is the guy that can come back and can do it. He knew it, but he couldn't convince the management of the Dolphins to agree with him.
I think under Saban, Brees would have been a really good quarterback. I don't think he would have reached the levels that he has under Sean, because, again, we won't know if Saban would have chosen a different offensive coordinator, but I just think Sean and Drew have that relationship that is maybe second to none.
Well, okay, and I hear what you're saying, and I agree. Here's where I think it differs a little bit. Even if their relationship wouldn't have been as good, because Saban is a defensive genius, the defense would have been so good.
True. That's a valid point.
He wouldn't have had to score a lot of points.
That's a valid point.
He might have been able to score two touchdowns.
He may have won more Super Bowls.
I think he'd have a couple of more rings.
That's an interesting standpoint, because that's something that we've talked about this week as this record comes and people are asking about it. Only one Super Bowl appearance. Matt Ryan's been to the playoffs. I mean, the thing is it going to be looked at as a disappointment, not in what he did, in the fact that he didn't get more opportunities? Are we going to look back and go, Sean, with that quarterback, you should have won more. You should have been to the postseason.
Well, I'm disappointed on two.
Right.
The year after we won the Super Bowl and had the big scuttlebutt about the payoffs. And
the bounty gate.
Yeah, the bounty gate.
Talked about that earlier today. Everything.
Okay, so that, I think, eliminates the possibility of a repeat Super Bowl.
And
we had a great chance. Also on that one, too, you kind of had to go back to the bank of Brees. He could have parted with a little bit of money and kept his offensive line intact. That would have made a big, big difference in that second year. And despite bounty gate, they might have still won it. And then last year. Last year was just a really good, legitimate shot. Don't know if they would have gone all the way, but the one play. And of course, you can't blame it on the one play, but the one play. And
I think it's fair.
Takes you out of it.
I think it's fair, because if you give Dan Marino two Super Bowls, he's probably known as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Dude,
but he doesn't have any, he's not. The people don't want to put him in a conversation.
And it's crazy, because you're right. When we talk about all these conversations, it's so easy. And you can hear the Astros fans, the ladies, right in front of us. There is a home run by the Astros to
Alex
get on
Bregman.
The board. Alex Bregman, the LSU product.
You know, I just realized they didn't give the Astros a night game.
Yeah.
They got all day games? I didn't even look at the schedule
like total disrespect to the Astros?
That is.
World Series champions.
Yeah, this is the defending champions, and they can't get a night game.
They get a day game.
Hey, Graf, baseball guy, call the commissioner.
Yeah.
Straighten this thing up.
It's called Yankees Red Sox.
Boston and Yankees. But, yes, there's a table here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tapas. It is a sports bar. Watching the game between the Indians. Sorry, Joey. Down 1-0 as Bregman takes an inside pitch. Ken, look at that form. Has he been spectacular coming into the league?
From the very start.
Every start.
From the get-go.
Into the Crawford
boxes. There was no learning curve there. He just jumped right into it.
And when you think of the hype that came in with him and he, how he had to produce. And he just, he took off, man.
Changed positions.
Played great.
You know.
Let's take the quick break. We're speaking with the legend, Ken Berthelot, who decided to stop by. Feel free to have a little lunch, man. They got a lot of things on
that.
The menu.
I want to tell you about a couple of guys on the high school level that might be wearing green. Be wearing green next year.
Well, they were wearing green last night, weren't they?
All of them were.
It was green everywhere.
And one of them's even the green wave. You know, the funny part, and we kind of played with this a little bit, those green waves and Tigers still play. Not the guys that play on Saturday,
never
but the ones
about
that play on Friday night, they still play.
It called
the
high school game between Ponchatoula and Slidell for Cox Sports Television. Mr. Ken Berthelot will talk about that game because it has some guys that are going to Tulane and to LSU. So we'll talk about that. Plus, don't forget you have high school football tonight here on ESPN New Orleans, South Lafourche at Assumption. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Marlon Favorite, sorry, bud, we're going to move you to 2:30. We never get to hang out with Ken Berthelot. We'll talk a little bit more. And we'll talk some college football here as well before we let you go. Thank you, Ken. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is sponsored by Vinny's in Metairie with happy hour every day from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. with $5 select appetizers and $4 select cocktails. Vinny's in Metairie at Ridgelake and 18th Street.
Saints and Redskins gearing up for Monday Night Football. Head coach Sean Payton says the 2-1 Skins have a balanced attack.
When you get the time of possession that they're getting offensively, and then you're playing the way they are defensively relative to the run and pressuring the quarterback and also eliminating the big plays, that formula works.
The big storyline for the Saints, the return of running back Mark Ingram. And Payton says it's a big deal.
It's significant in a number of ways, in pass pro, in the balance that we have, the things it allows us to do with Alvin as a receiver at times. And also, look, there's a wear and tear on one player. You know, we talked all offseason about how this first month was going to be without Mark, you know, and the idea was for us to kind of keep those touches in a similar area and the playing time in a similar area. And if we weren't able to do that, I mean, in other words, his numbers did increase.
Kickoff on Monday night is set for 7:15. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Vinny's in Metairie with the best happy hour in town every day, 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. with $1 off all bottle and craft beers, plus $5 glasses of wine. Vinny's in Metairie at Ridgelake and 18th Street.
Metairie favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Follow Ken Berthelot over on Twitter at KenBerthelot20. What's the 20 stand for?
You know, when I registered, they just threw it out there. So if there's 19 other Ken Berthelots, God bless them all, okay?
Everything has to have a meaning for Gus.
I tell you what. That's,
no.
That's
but
along
me,
the lines.
Let me tell you the value.
You at least have a picture and a border. Well, it's blue. We'll work on that.
Well, wait. He's one up on me.
I'm finally getting pictures. I'm finally learning how to put pictures up and everything. Let me tell you the value of asking about numbers and stuff like that. I'm interviewing, Darius Webb to write a story on him for the Tulane football program. He's at Nickel State. And I just happened to say, look, you've been wearing number 20 forever. Why? Does it have any special meaning? He says, absolutely. He says, man, I wore that at Opelika High in Opelika, Alabama, because Ed Reed is my favorite football player.
Gotcha.
He says, I want to be an Ed Reed, and he wore number 20. And just shoots out of the head and said, so what would you do if you ever had a chance to play on the same team as Ed Reed? He said, because he's number 20. You can't take his number. He said, I'd ask for 21. Baltimore Ravens. He's
That's
21.
That's what his number was.
21. Yep. Ed was 20, and he was 21 before Ed retired, and it still means something special to Ladarius Webb today.
Yeah, so it's always, the story well before then.
Oh,
it's
interesting. Yeah, it did, you know, just popped in. One of those.
Well, it's
things.
Incredible. You just told the story of a high school kid that went on to go in the NFL and college and all of that. We've talked a lot last time you were on about this 2019 class and what this year of high school football is going to be. We saw Curtis looks really strong. John Eric's got some teams. I mean, you've called some games here as well. We got a huge one in Newman and Country Day going on as well today. And, of course, South LaFouche.
Well, what about Joe Chango? He might just be coach of the year. You talk about getting stuff out, getting the best out of the talent that he's got.
Yeah.
He has been unbelievable at Country Day.
Yeah, and again, they're undefeated. Meeting what number 5 and number 6 in the state, so
two undefeated. Yeah, one of them won't be after today.
Well,
and
last night,
don't put anything by Nelson Stewart either. He's got a few tricks up his sleeve.
And last night, you had an interesting game. You had Ponchatoula and Slidell.
Yeah.
And if you're an LSU or Tulane fan, you probably want to pay attention to that game.
You do, because everybody from LSU is excited about the big guy, TJ Finley.
TJ, he's huge.
6'6".
He's huge.
He's a junior now. He's still got his senior year.
Yeah.
6'6", 225.
I mean, he looks like a dude.
Yeah,
like,
he looks like
a man
he's 245.
Playing like in, you know, peewee football. I kid you not. He's
but he's
6'6".
Still raw talent. But he's very coachable. Talk to him after for a little while. Very coachable kid, frustrated. Look, he didn't have a good night. And let me say this before we go into it. Ponchatoula's offensive line, not the best this year with Hank Tierney at coaching. Their talent level is down. And I'm going to say this before I throw the numbers out there. Ponchatoula's defense, probably the weakest it's been in a long time. He's got a lot of people coming in. He's got to build it.
Can this kid a quarterback?
He's a quarterback, and he's going to be a drop back. And Tierney's used to a guy who moves around.
He's a running offense.
And this kid, I wrote the numbers down right here. Pressured, he's flushed, he's hit hard. I mean, he's a drop-back passer. They had to use him. He still runs for 81, passes for 324, two touchdowns passing, one touchdown running. And guess what? He wasn't even having a good day. He was out of sync. This is on a bad day.
On a bad day, 300-plus yards passing in high school.
On a bad day. And look, he you could tell he's got wrist strength and arm strength. He's got a quick release. One of his problems is he's so tall that he'll overthrow some receivers.
Right, I saw that on I think on one of the touchdown passes. It was almost like a flare right out of the backfield to the Tulane commit, the running back, and he
Tyjae Spears.
Yes, and he but the ball almost looked like he had to throw it over and down. It was crazy.
I know,
and that's what I saw in that highlight. I'm like, this dude is huge. So
and he missed Tay Cole twice for another touchdown. Right. Same thing, just a little over his head. But I think the three really underappreciated players in this game, and all three could end up at Tulane. One's the Tulane commit, Tyjae Spears. Mm-hmm. The whole defensive game plan for Slidell was take him out. Not take him out physically, but in other words, make sure that...
Be careful now, they'll go Greg Williams.
But make sure that, in other words, wherever he goes, he's going to draw a crowd. So they shut his running game down pretty good, and they made sure that if he flared out, he wasn't going to go. As a matter of fact, if Tyjae Spears was in the backfield, Ismael Burdeen, best defensive player in the backfield for Slidell, he'd play safety and just watch him and kind of spy him. And if Tyjae went into a slot position or went in as a wideout, because he is a hybrid back, he can do for high school now what you're seeing on Saturday and Sunday. What guys do, soft hands coming out of the backfield. You can run like a hard running back, but you can go out and you can get that. Just put it in his hands and let him get the yak yards after, and he'll do pretty good. He had a little trouble last night. And again, if you look at the whole thing for him, it was about 138 yards rushing, total yards, at 47 rushing, 83 receiving. But that, again, is having one defense focus on him, and it worked for Slidell. But he's a Tulane commit. He loves Tulane. He wants to come. I think the sleeper is on Slidell's team. And on that offense, you got a young kid named Harlan Dixon. Harlan Dixon, 5 touchdowns. He had a career in one night against the Ponchatoula defense. Dixon, 272 yards total, 237 of those rushing, the 5 touchdowns. He looked fantastic. They couldn't stop him. Now, granted, if the defense isn't strong, and Ponchi's defense isn't strong, it wasn't the fact that he gained it, it's the way he gained it. When he's out in open field, they can't tackle him.
Wow.
It's a cut left, it's a juke move to the right, it's making people miss, it's the stiff arm, it's turning on the afterburners when he has to do it. The only thing he's missing to be a total and complete player to maybe play for the Green Wave is he's got to get that 40 speed down. And on the post-game show, Larry Farr put the headsets on. He says, as soon as the season's over, I'm getting him on a track. We're going to lower his 40 speed, and he's going to be ready to go. Missouri would love him. Mississippi State would love him. He's got a couple of other Big Tens looking at him hard. He really, I've heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard that he really does want to stay home. So I think Tulane's got the shot at him if they want him. And then the sleeper, who wasn't even in there, was a kid named Tito Simmons, another senior from Slidell. He was like a ghost. Put the ball in his hands, and everybody's just grabbing it. The arms go right around him. Nobody can bring him down.
No kidding.
The kid finds a way to get open. And look, a lot of that, and these kids did well because they got an unheralded quarterback named Jacob Guidry, a little bitty guy, 5'11". He's going to play somewhere on Saturday if he wants to at the next level. Let me tell you, Slidell, a sleeper. They're only 3-3, but they're undefeated in their district now.
But that's just a tough district. We're not even talking about the Curtises and the Eastons and all that. And he just mentioned 3-4 guys that can go in college. It's what I've been saying.
You can build a team right here,
all
Gus.
All season, that's what I'm getting at. In Louisiana, and it's not just for your LSUs and your Tulanes, but look what Nichols is doing and what Coach Rebo is doing down there and getting guys like Chase Forcade helped turn that program around. He's been a 3-year starter, stuff like that. Some of the guys you just mentioned may not be the prototypical SEC guy. Doesn't mean you can't use them and help turn your program around and get you some wins.
Look, I don't want to say any names, but there was a coach of a big university in Louisiana who was watching the Nichols game and saw Sully Lesh and saw a couple from Lutcher, the nose tackle, and a couple of other people on Tim Rebo's team playing, looked at the person he was sitting with and said, how did we miss these guys? Yeah. And he really didn't miss them.
Right.
He just didn't have any more room for them. And that's the point that Gus is making. They can't all go to LSU.
Right.
Because you've only got 25 to 28 to 30, whatever you're going to get a year.
Ken, my nephews and my niece went to Mandeville High School, so I was a little bit familiar with that side. I know Jordan went to St. Paul's. I think that district over there in North Shore is probably the best kept secret in Louisiana. There's a lot of talent over there that's gone unnoticed. In past years, Guy LaCombe had Mandeville always contending. He's left and gone to Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
That district kind of flipped upside down. Now Slidell, who was the doormat, looks like they were one of the top teams. Which changed there? Is it the coaching?
You know, we talked about this yesterday in the terms of, and please, I hate to throw this word out because it's overused, rivalry.
Right.
And we asked Wade Kaiser and said, wait, what makes a rivalry? And he talked about the fact that when you're constantly playing each other every year, it may not be a rivalry in the sense of Holy Cross and Jesuit that's met for the 99th time and could meet for the 100th time in the playoffs if they're matched up again. It may not be an old rivalry, but when you're constantly playing the same team over and over and the players all live in the area like they do on the North Shore, the game starts to mean something first to the players, more so than anybody else. And then that spreads to the coaches and to the fans, and that's when it becomes, if you don't want to use the word rivalry, it's okay, but that's when everything becomes big games. And that's what happened. You're right. It's really an under-noticed district, 6-5A, up there with Slidell and everybody in that area. And I'll tell you what, they've got some hidden talent, but I thought these guys were hidden, and I said, well, they don't have any commitments yet.
Right.
And then I look at Harlan Dixon, and you find out that Harlan Dixon's being looked at by a couple of schools in the SEC. So
bottom of the hour, got to hit this break and get to Marlon Fairbanks.
I got you.
But Ken, what's the next game you're gonna be calling?
We got a 2-week rest, and then we're going to have back-to-backs on a Friday and Saturday. We're going to De La Salle at St. Charles Catholic. Always fun to do a Frank Monica game, and Ryan Minnelli's always got a good team. And then we've got
Frank
the big
Monica's been here for years.
Hate to use rivalry, but at least if you want to call it big game, the very next day on Saturday, Rummel Curtis, and those are going to be the last weekend in October. So that weekend of the 27th, whatever that Friday Saturday is, we'll do back to backs there. And I got one Nichols game this year coming up, and that's going to be the Stephen F. Austin at Nichols. And I'm hoping if the Colonels keep playing like they're playing, that'll have some serious implications because that'll be 5 days before the Thursday night season finale with Southeastern, who has to go to Nichols this year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
that
a big weekend.
Yeah, that was a big game.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Follow Ken Burflat over on Twitter at KenBurflat20. We'll find out one day why that 2-0 is there. But that just means he got to come back.
That just means there's 19 other Ken Berthelets somewhere, and I feel sorry for all of them.
Hey,
so
man,
that's good.
Appreciate
I love being on the show. Thank you very much.
The legend,
as
Ken Berthelet.
The Astros fans continue as they pile up another run there. 2-0 now. Runners on first and third is the top of No, it's the bottom of the fourth. Bottom of the fourth inning is obviously there in Houston. I know it's the bottom.
Hey, anyway. Listen, Grass listening. He loves baseball.
Yes.
Get on the phone with the commissioner. Get the Stros a night
you're
game.
Right. And that's,
isn't that nuts?
That's something else. And it's not like Houston is not a big market. They're the number four market in the country.
It's Texas, yeah.
It's the number four market in the country.
Red Sox, Yankees.
And they're the defending champs.
They play on the same nights as the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Well, you do have a ton of games.
Everything.
So you have, let's see, today you have Indians Astros at 3:15, Rockies Brewers at 6:32, Yankees Red Sox. This is why tonight's Braves Dodgers.
That's LA.
That's LA. So
West
it's 8:37 Central. So then you go 6 o'clock over there. So it has to be the late game. But to your point, yeah, I mean, they are the defending World Series champs. They're first anyway. We'll see. Thanks for stopping by, man. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. Marlon Favorite will break down what it's like to play at the Swamp, LSU and Florida. We'll preview that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Kaboom! It's a blowout sale at Homa's Clayton Homes. Single wide start as low as $36,000. And double wide start at $55,000. Multiple installation packages are available. Visit Homa's Clayton Homes on Facebook to schedule your appointment today. These ain't your grandma's trailers. Don't miss out on the best deal of the year. Dial 985-872-2850. That's 985-872-2850. If your old trailer house has got to go.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Jay Hargrave, would you believe I'm a kid-friendly show? Sports Hangover.
Yeah, you play Rebecca Black.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll take requests as well.
Yeah.
I'm a Disney guy, especially now with Carver.
Yeah, you're going to know all the purple people and everything else.
We've had to add
purple dinosaurs.
Not so scary Halloween Mickey stuff around the house, so we've had to do all of that. But I want to give a shout-out to Addie Fitz, who's on her way home from school. She's listening with her dad in the car.
All right.
So thank you for tuning us in. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy your weekend away from school.
Yes, exactly right. Let's bring in Marlon Favorite of the LSU Sports Radio Network at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow on Twitter. Marlon, how are you, man?
Hello, somebody. Talk to me now. Feeling good. It's Friday, baby.
It is, no doubt. Are you pumped up about tomorrow, 2:30, CBS Sports, the game of the week, LSU at Florida? Tell us what it's like to play in the Swamp.
Man, I'm ecstatic, Gus. I'm hype about this game. Some people are still questioning, can LSU do it on the road? You know, after winning against Auburn big on the road and winning at a neutral site against Miami. So I am hyped. The Swamp, just to tell you about that experience, Gus, it's hostile because the fans are so close right there. Man, I might have mentioned it to you before off air.
Right.
The fans are right in your ear, so you have to have a really great amount of focus in those games because they'll try to take you out of it. That's a big home field advantage for them. The actual crowd participation.
What do you remember any games against Florida that stand out in your mind that you played in?
Oh, yeah, man, 06. As a matter of fact, I tweeted a picture out yesterday from that game. That 06 game was very competitive. In my opinion, the best LSU football team I played on was guys like LaRon Landry, Craig Davis, Shevin Jackson, you know, just to name a few guys that were some really good standouts on those teams. And, man, Gus, when we went down to the Swamp in 06, what I remember about that game more than anything else was they weren't physical. It wasn't really a physical game. It was more along the lines of who can outflank who. And, man, just when Tebow did that fake run pass, I wasn't in on that play, too, by the way. But that was that one play that had them actually win the game. If it wasn't for that play, we win that game, we win a national championship in 06.
So, you know, something that Jay and I have been talking about here for a while, definitely it has that sense and feel of a rivalry as well. And look, when you look at it this year, I kind of look at it as a pivotal game from this standpoint. You let off with it. That a lot of people still aren't, they're saying, hey, look at the nice start by LSU. Pat on the back, way to go, Coach O. Let's see what happens next year. I don't feel a lot of people are buying or thinking this team can make noise this year. So hence, Marlon, why I say, I think it's a pivotal game. You got Georgia next week. It's in Tiger Stadium. Never know what can happen. But for that to be a really big game, I think this could be a win that maybe gets people to start thinking, could they be a playoff team? Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong at all. I saw a recent poll. I want to say it was CBSSports.com. They had us with a 1% chance at winning it all. And I think we were like 10th ranked team on their list of teams that could potentially be in a big show. This team has that type of talent, man. It's an evenly distributed amount of talent on this LSU football team. From the quarterback position, Joe Burrow is a polished quarterback. We still want to see a little more because we had midway of the season, but I think no interceptions, a high completion ratio, the grit, and the just want to of being a hard-nosed, aggressive quarterback, really make good decisions in the pocket from the quarterback position. I mean, the defense is on point, particularly at the corner position. So it's a lot to look forward to with this team, and I think, you know, we can get through this gauntlet in the next few weeks. We can compete.
Marlon, looking at that schedule at the beginning of the year, we all kind of thought it was just too brutal. Now looking at it halfway through, it almost sets up to help LSU. Last week you got a chance to take on Ole Miss's wide receivers, the NWO, and that secondary stood up to them. Did you pick up a little, that LSU, that secondary is maybe a little bit more confident going into these two pivotal games with Florida and Georgia?
I think they are, Jay. Coach Corey Raymond does a really good job at getting his guys prepared and making corrections with them. Just been around the program for a while, and then where he's coached, you know, the guys really buy into his concept. So I think just a little bit of polishing helped out a lot on the secondary. But, hey, we're going to go against some competitive receivers in this league, some really good quarterbacks that could get the job done. So I think it's just really up to that whole defense playing as a whole, particularly in the secondary, guys just finishing.
Marlon, one of the things, obviously, when you look at a game like this are some of the matchups that can really determine who comes out on top on Saturday. I know your podcast is called Inside the Trenches. I can't think of a better game, really, in which it could happen. LSU could be looking at its sixth different starting lineup on the offensive line this year in each game. And with Florida, you got to imagine, hey, pressure Burrow, try to make him uncomfortable. Really, no team's really done that this year, right? I can't think of a game in which I felt Burrow was under duress despite all the different lineup changes at the O-line position.
Yeah, they do a really good job at gelling up front, Gus. Just being able to be 2 and 3 deep like that on the offensive line, usually that's devastating for a team to lose a starter, particularly the guys that we've had missing. We've had McGee missing at times. Brumfield had to step out, you know, due to some nicks and bruises. And the young guys like Hines and Deculus and all those guys were able to get right in there and contribute. And the offensive line not use a beat. who's a beast. So I think that's really impressive. And the guys who are, you know, judging these games and looking at which team is the best, they have to take into consideration, Gus, that LSU has depth not only on the defensive line, but on the offensive line as well, taking it inside the trenches, baby. Hello.
Marlon, is one of the big keys for LSU this week to stop the Florida running game, make Felipe Franks a one-dimensional throwing the ball?
I think that is. They're going to have to beat us through the air. I think this LSU's run defense is really, really good. Franks is going to have to try to find open guys. If you look at it right now, they're not really super impressive on the ground game. So it's definitely an advantage for LSU's front seven. And if, you know, if those guys come out, lock in, play very disciplined, and again, just finish plays. I can't stress how important finishing is. You know, you make a good play, you're feeling really good about yourself, and then you go out the next play and kind of look a little lackadaisical. You don't want it to be that approach. So I just hope that the guys are really buying into finishing, playing a diamond sound, and if we could get. We have to get those interceptions too. But
yep.
We have to sack quarterback. We have to get quarterback sacks up front for LSU. This is something that we've been a little slow on.
Yep.
Needs to pick up. It really does.
That's actually what I wanted to touch on you. Is that the key on Saturday too, to kind of pressure him as well? I mean, look, he's got 13 touchdowns to Felipe Franks, but when you look at a lot of the national writers, it's sort of like what you say. A lot of people maybe don't buy Felipe Franks and what he maybe can provide and do, because I was interested that you said, hey, have him beat us through the air. He's got 13 touchdowns, so you're putting it on his shoulders rather than stopping that run game. So I guess it just comes down to that. Can you pressure him and can you make him uncomfortable? Look, I think if you could do it at Auburn, I don't see why you can't do it at Florida.
And I'm with you 100% with that, Gus. I think that we can do that. I really feel that Dave Aranda has some tricks up his sleeve, and able to not only put his players in the best position to make plays, but particularly up front, what I really like is the way he blitzes the linebacker. He blitzes the safety. You know, just giving different looks at pressures, different speeds. LSU's defensive line, those guys get sacks, but it's cover sacks. They really play for cover sacks. They're not one of those teams that's just attacking you. It's more like read or reaction. So, man, I'm just interested in seeing how we're going to pressure him this weekend.
All right, Marlon, quickly as we let you go here, how do you see it Saturday?
I'll say it's in a swamp. Hostile environment, I will go LSU 41, Florida 38.
Wow, 41-38.
Well, you know what, 41-31. I think we win by at least 10 points. I'll say that. Because I don't think Florida's going to score that many points.
That is a high-scoring game, man, considering Vegas has it at 2.5 points. So there you go, Marlon Favorite. Letting you know that it could be a wild one in the swamp on Saturday, man. I appreciate it. Every time these two teams get together, it is fun to watch.
Hey, LSU has to start running up the points, Gus. They really do. So you see what Georgia's doing, you see what Alabama's doing.
I see what you're doing there. You want to get that national attention. In order to do that, you need to get that score up. I see what you're doing. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it, bud.
No problem, guys. Have a great week.
Yep, at Big Faye 504. When we come back, we'll do a couple of picks on some games of the week and final tidbits going into that game as well. 800-998-1003. If you want to chime in before we wrap up, do so now. And at ESPN Radio NOLA, maybe we'll get Ken to help pick up the games. He's waiting for his lunch.
What'd you order?
What are you going to order?
He hadn't decided yet.
There you go. It's a big menu. Pick something. It's on Jay. See what I just did there? Sports Hangover continues.
We got you.
Next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is sponsored by New Orleans Harley-Davidson, the biggest selection of Harleys in the South, located at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Saints and Redskins gearing up for Monday Night Football. Head coach Sean Payton says the 2-1 Skins have a balanced attack.
when you get the time of possession that they're getting offensively, and then you're playing the way they are defensively relative to the run and pressuring the quarterback and also eliminating the big plays, that formula works.
The big storyline for the Saints, the return of running back Mark Ingram. And Peyton says it's a big deal.
It's significant in a number of ways, in pass pro, in the balance that we have, the things it allows us to do with Alvin as a receiver at times. And also, look, there's a wear and tear on one player. You know, we talk all offseason about how this first month was going to be without Mark, you know, and the idea was for us to kind of keep those touches in a similar area and the playing time in a similar area. And if we weren't able to do that, I mean, in other words, his numbers did increase.
Kickoff on Monday night is set for 7:15. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Cattingale, and what a great time to stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. They have the greatest bikes of all time arriving daily and available with 1% financing. New Orleans Harley's also giving away tickets to the World War II Air, Sea, and Land Fest to anyone who test rides a 2019. And on Fridays and Saturdays, you can put your name in the hat for the motorcycle giveaway that will be drawn during the annual Hogoween party Thursday the 25th. Get out to New Orleans Harley and get in on the action. While supplies last, financing with approved credit, see dealer for details.
P-Bob here, and when my AC needs repair, I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they get the job done right. Couple that with the 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day AC service, critical in this heat, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
A strong defense wins the game. Don't wait for rising water. Call Associated Pump and Supply today. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs, Associated Pump and Supply has your water solution with 30 years plus experience. Our staff is ready to deliver, install, repair, or retrofit your pumping equipment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call 985-851-7077 or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Monday evenings at 6 live from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux for the Nicholls State Coaches Show with Coach Tim Rebo. Join your host, the voice of the Colonels, Brian Johnson, as he interviews coaches, players, and adds insight on upcoming games. Along with Nicholls State athletic updates, you'll enjoy great pizza, calzone, salads, pasta, and wraps from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux. Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Mondays at 6 with Coach Tim Rebo, and go Colonels!
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale.
ESPN New Orleans, your home for South Lafourche football tonight, 7 o'clock. South Lafourche at Assumption, in case you just clear or have that call. And then tomorrow, it's Northwestern State and Nicholls. 6 p.m. Brian Johnson will have that call for you right here on ESPN New Orleans. Ken Berthlott joins us here for the final segment. We'd like to kind of talk some games, do some picks. Feel free to chime in since you do high school, college football as well. Texas and Oklahoma, that's a rivalry, and that's a game. It used to be the, what, Red River Shootout and all this other. Now it's the Texas Fair Game or whatever you want to call it. It's at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it's always been the State Fair Game.
Right, exactly.
They give it a fancy name. And
another home run by the Astros.
George Springer.
And it's now, what,
3-0
Astros. Sorry about that for the interruption. But Texas, Oklahoma. Well, you got an entire table of Astros fans over here. The ladies are all excited.
Look, I lived with Astro fans. My brother-in-law was buried in his Colt 45 jersey.
Wow. Really?
He had a Colt 45 Houston, Colt 45 jersey. He said, when I go, I want to be buried in that jersey, and he was buried
when
in that
I
jersey.
Go. I hear you. It was kind of like me when I welcomed my son and I had to go get my Cubs stuff on. I mean, I held them in a Cubs shirt and a Cubs hat, so I understand totally. Texas, Oklahoma, you got the Sooners favored by 7. Who you like?
Well, I tell you, it's hard to go against the Sooners, but Texas has got a chip on its shoulder in this game. And when you get a big – and this truly is a rivalry. You can throw that out when you get Texas and Oklahoma. I kind of like to go with the underdog in a game like this. And I know it's a nobody's real home game, but it's still played in the state of Texas. And Texas has a lot to prove, and I think Texas believes this is the year that they can beat their chest.
I'm going to disagree. I agree. It looks like another back-to-back home runs. Jose Altuve just made it 4-0.
There's an Altuve jersey right in front of us over here. So, what is that? Eight ladies, Astro fans.
Eight ladies, yeah.
Four, six, eight.
Look at y'all. There you go. I said right.
I agree with Ken. I usually like to go with the underdogs in the rivalry, but everybody's picking Texas, and something's telling me that Oklahoma might just get away and get one of those late touchdowns to cover. I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Okay, another game in college football. I think it's going to be interesting, Ken. A&M with Jimbo Fisher at home in College Station taking on 13th-ranked Kentucky. Got to be one of the surprises so far this season, right? They're 5-0, and A&M is a 6-point favorite here.
Are we picking with the spread, or are we just picking straight up? This is straight up pick?
This is spread.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, let's have fun with it.
Tell you what, this is one that, from the bottom of my heart, I want Kentucky to win.
Yeah?
I just love to see Kentucky come them, back right? in football, and I think it's good for the SEC. I think it's good for Kentucky, but you're playing at Texas A&M, and for a lot of these kids at Kentucky, they have not been to A&M and faced that home crowd. So, oh, man. Who's the favorite on this one?
A&M 6 points.
By six.
I think it'd be closer than that. I'll take Kentucky in the
with
six.
The points, okay.
I'm taking Kentucky in the six, but A&M to win the game outright.
I'm glad you switched because I didn't want to pick against the legend twice in a row. I'm going with Kentucky in this. I think Kentucky's for real.
Yeah, right. I do too.
Auburn and Mississippi State. Boy, Mississippi State was highly ranked. They're out of the top 25. Auburn 3.5 points. It's at Stark Vegas.
Yeah, I pick Auburn. They could play this one anywhere they want, Auburn.
I'm going to pick Auburn. New coach at Mississippi State. He's going to take some time.
Any shot, 7 o'clock on ABC, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. Any shot at Blacksburg Magic here? Notre Dame, 7-point favorite.
I think that Notre Dame, looking at their schedule, they realize this is their last
big
test.
I agree.
If they can win this, they ought to just skate right through.
Uh-huh.
I think you're going to see all the old Notre Dame tradition, Newt Rockne's spirit coming out the sky and picking Notre Dame no matter what the points
were. I'm going to go with the upset. They had their Troy moment at Virginia Tech. They lost to Old Dominion. Right. I think they hit rock bottom. I think they'll get it together and beat Notre Dame. I'm going with a shocking upset here.
Ooh. Oh,
he thinks they can put their left foot in
I'm going
and turn
with the
themselves
points.
Around.
I think it's
like
going to be a close game. I'm telling you, for some reason, I'm feeling a Blackbird magic here. I don't know what it is. All right. Got about a minute and a half left, guys.
Remember next week I said Notre Dame.
All right. Saints and the Skins on Monday. The game's not till Monday. We'll give our picks and keys on then, but we won't hear from you two gentlemen. So, who you got?
Big night, I think. Drew Brees, they win by 17. I think they win easily.
Divine intervention. Tonight belongs to Drew. Or as Graf would say, this one belongs to the Brees.
Oh,
so
I like what you
he wins
there.
It no matter what.
Okay, well, there it is. Ken, as always, man, appreciate you stopping by, having a little fun. Have you decided what you're going to eat yet?
Oh, yeah, man, I see it right here. I'm going with the Old Saint Craft Burger.
Dude, it is
one
solid.
Of the best in the town.
Okay, here's the key question of the entire day. Bacon or no bacon on your burger?
Oh, bacon.
There you go.
I love bacon,
there
baby.
You go. Jordan, our intern,
gotta
hates
have
bacon,
the bacon
on a burger. Oh. And I'm like, that's un-American. I can't.
Is he from here? Is he from Louisiana?
St. Paul's.
He's from the North Shore. I mean, you know, it's a whole different world there. Exactly.
Yeah. No, he's a St. Paul's boy.
Well, I mean, I had to ask him after that comment, do you like seafood? I mean, you don't know. I mean, when you make a comment. So bacon for Mr. Ken Berthlot. Hey, don't forget, Assumption and South Lafourche tonight at 7 o'clock tomorrow. It's Nichols and Northwestern State here on ESPN New Orleans. And again, Monday, we'll be at Clayton Homes in Houma. John Forcade and myself will be there as well, getting you ready for the Saints game. It's Monday Night Football. Enjoy LSU, Florida. Enjoy the wave. And Cincy, enjoy Nichols and Northwestern. Enjoy anybody that you root for and inhabit. Enjoy the weekend, because I just saw Joey sent me a picture. There could be a tropical something next week.
Just remember to ask Forcade about his Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I will.
New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame.
I'll do that. Thanks for tuning us in. Matt Moscona, and After Further Review, is up next on ESPN New Orleans. Thank you, Joey.